Many of the orcas captured and sent to marine theme parks in the 1960s and 70s came from the Pacific Northwest. An incident 50 years ago this month changed that. A staffer in then-Washington Governor Dan Evans' office witnessed a crew hired by SeaWorld chasing a pod of orcas into a shallow bay. A court case ensued, and within 2 weeks, SeaWorld agreed to end captures in Washington state. To learn more about the orcas that came to be known as the Bud Inlet Six, I reached out to people who knew about what happened 50 years ago, including Ellie Kinley, a mother, a fisherman, and a member of the Lummi Nation. Her people call orcas Quahalmichton, the people who live beneath the sea.
We always referred to them as people. In our stories, we say Quahalmichton are our relatives that put on their regalia and go under the water.
Before the 1960s and 70s, and films like Free Willy and Blackfish, many non-tribal residents of the Northwest did not feel such kinship with the now widely loved creatures, and few protested when they were captured and sent to marine parks. Environmental journalist and author Linda Mapes has written extensively about orcas in the Northwest.
People thought orcas were menaces. They thought they were to be shot on sight. Fishermen commonly shot them because they didn't want them raiding their nets.
Those fears had started to shift by the mid-1970s, and the business of displaying orcas in theme parks was thriving. SeaWorld was running a television ad which featured a mock tribal narrator talking about, quote, stories told for centuries about visits from powerful and deadly creatures from another world.
Hear these stories for the first time, and if you don't believe such creatures exist, see them for yourself. At the new Legend of Shamu, only at SeaWorld, you can't get any closer.
SeaWorld had worked around loopholes in the Marine Mammal Protection Act, passed by Congress in 1972, to keep capturing orca calves, mainly in waters bordering Washington and British Columbia, known as the Salish Sea. Then, on March 7, 1976, a SeaWorld crew trapped a pod of nomadic orcas in Bud Inlet on South Puget Sound in view of the state capitol in Olympia. Ralph Monroe, who worked in the governor's office, happened to be there, sailing with his then-wife Karen and some friends. Linda Mapes later interviewed Monroe about that day for the Seattle Times.
There was a whole pod of whales coming towards us. They were swimming really fast and on the surface. Then we realized that there was a boat chasing them.
Monroe said the crews used a seaplane, boats, and explosives to corral the animals.
Then the whales realized they were out of space, and they turned and made a run for it. And by that time, the big fishing boat, Pacific Maid, had set net across the bay. And so when the whales went back, they ran right square into that set net. As they closed the net ends, it really got gruesome.
The crew separated calves from their families. What Monroe saw and heard that day haunted him for the rest of his life.
You could hear the whales screaming to each other back and forth. I can still hear it sometimes. And I know that people laugh at that and they say, oh, it couldn't have been that bad. It was awful. It was just, it was disgusting and sick. You know, just the sounds the whales make, but they were frantic. I will never forget it.
Karen Monroe Ellick remembers staying on the water for hours to witness the details of the captures and what happened next.
Ralph and I talked about it on the way back and said, we better call our friends in the press. And it was a Sunday evening. We didn't know if we would get through to anyone, but we did. And the next morning, Ralph went out to get the paper real early and said, we've won round one. It's on page one of the PI.
Ralph Monroe also called his boss, Governor Evans, and the state attorney general, Slade Gorton, who helped spearhead a lawsuit against SeaWorld. Amazingly, perhaps, by today's standards, in just over 2 weeks, a judge ruled against SeaWorld. On March 23, 1976, 50 years ago today, the theme park owners agreed to stop capturing orcas in Washington state. Years later, Monroe remembered it as a groundbreaking moment.
This is all new territory. Trying to save a whale? We won. And it was the last whale capture in America.
The Bud Inlet Six, members of a species now known as Biggs orcas, were released. The whales were relatively rare visitors to Puget Sound back then, since the state had promoted killing off their preferred prey, seals and sea lions. Now, their population is thriving. On the other side of what Ralph Monroe and others witnessed that day, 50 years ago, was Jeff Foster, a 19-year-old member of the capture crew. Foster grew up in the Seattle area and says many people he knew were fearful of orcas, treated them like a dangerous predator, like great white sharks. But he hadn't grown up fearing them. He says he saw things differently at the time.
It was, you know, a really exciting thing. It's a bit of a rodeo, but it's super exciting for a young guy who doesn't know any better. Part of, you know, my feeling was bringing these animals into captivity, we learn more about these animals and their behavior and their intelligence.
It took decades for people around the world to turn against the idea of displaying large marine animals in amusement displays. When orca captures ended in the U.S., the focus moved to Iceland. Jeff Foster worked with crews there until 1990, but his reservations grew.
I was more excited about the adventure and working with these amazing animals. But over time, you know, you realize that, you know, these animals were calling out. And as I spent more and more time with these animals, I realized that they're a lot like us.
Now, Foster lives on San Juan Island and is doing the opposite of what he used to do. He works with groups like the Whale Sanctuary Project and Sea Life Trust and Conservation to help transition marine animals from parks to ocean sanctuaries.
And the most important thing is doing it right and making sure that we're doing it safely and humane for the animals and trying to provide a better home.
Ellie Kinley knows and speaks very highly of Foster. She says she'll often call him if she comes across a pod of orcas to get help identifying them.
Jeff and Katie have done some wonderful work. I love them to pieces.
There's a somber coda to the end of orca captures in the United States. A group of whales, now known as southern resident orcas, had made the Salish Sea their home for thousands of years, and they suffered the brunt of the capture era. Their numbers totaled approximately 110 prior to the 60s and 70s. Around 50 of them were captured and taken to marine parks. Others died in the capture process. 3 years ago, Lummi Nation member Ellie Kinley was involved with a group working to release the last captive southern resident orca, a 57-year-old known as Tokatai, from the Miami Seaquarium. The rescue team was days away from transporting Tokatai back to Washington State when she suddenly died. She had spent 53 years in captivity.
I felt like a member of my family had died. It hurt that bad. Because it was so important for us to bring her back home to her waters, to send the message to the rest of the southern residents that we see you're in trouble, we know you need help. And to us, that was part of the message, that we could bring their stolen daughter back.
Kinley hopes people can still make a difference in how orcas are treated around the world. And she says she'll keep sharing stories about them.
Because you never know when that story might reach that one person that actually can make a difference.
50 years on from the legal victory that ended orca capture in Washington State and ultimately nationwide, the southern resident orca population hasn't rebounded. They struggle with fewer salmon to eat, polluted waters, and noisy, dangerous shipping traffic. Many young calves die before their first year of life. Approximately 76 southern residents remain. Kim Malcolm, KUOW News.
Oh,